And for next year, we are still looking for women to lead small groups. Applications can be found online, grow.hope.edu, and they're due Wednesday. So if you're a freshman, sophomore, or junior, we would love to have you apply. Hey, Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. That is such good news for us for so many reasons, and such great news that it motivated me today to wear what I like to call my springtime pants. Now, they're bright. They are becoming less bright through the years. It happens. And usually some of you know this, some of you don't, but I like to wear these traditionally on the first day of spring. But that didn't happen for some reason. But I want you to know in the power of these pants, this morning when I woke up, foggy, cloudy, kind of rainy, put the springtime pants on, sun came out. Tanya, you should get a pair. Now, one of the reasons I wasn't able to wear them this year on spring break when spring came, because it was spring break, and I was with some students down in Jackson, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, Mississippi. That's what I like to hear. Some of you are here. The mighty Miss. And it was a great week. It was a week where I was challenged in many respects. Challenged by the 14-hour van ride on the way down. Challenged by some of the musical choices in said van ride on the way down. Challenged by the conversations I had with those we traveled with and those whom we met. And challenged to see things in a new way. And sometimes challenged literally by the things that I saw. I didn't take a lot of pictures when I was down there, actually not a single one. But I'm really hopeful that some of the images of the week remain with me for a long time. You see, what we did a lot during the week was we went touring, which meant that the 17 of us piled into two big vans and toured the city of Jackson, most often the area of West Jackson where we were. And we saw neighborhoods and places that for a variety of reasons, very vast and complicated and deeply rooted, have been abandoned or neglected, forgotten. And we saw these day after day, lots of decay. We saw some homes that looked like they'd been abandoned for years, and other homes that looked like they had been abandoned more recently. Some had fire damage, some had windows and doors that were boarded up. Most of the yards were overgrown, and there was trash strewn around. Trash like big old car parts and mattresses and carpet pieces, broken bottles, lots of trash. And despite some of them being boarded up, there was also signs of life that looked like people recently or currently were still seeking shelter in some of these homes. And to be very honest, it was quite numbing. And I can't tell you, because I'm not good at remembering statistics, not my strength, can't tell you how many homes have been abandoned in West Jackson. And I hate using the word abandoned even, because it somewhat implies that people simply up and left. And that is not the case. As I mentioned, the reasons are wide, systemic, deeply rooted, and we barely began to understand some of them in our week down there, much less could I try to explain in a few minutes to all of you. But hear this, there's a lot. In fact, there was one block we saw, there the entire block, there was only one house that hadn't been abandoned or emptied. One house on an entire block. So it's numbing, and you're touring, and it almost, for me, I won't speak for everybody in the group, it got to be where you almost expected to see it as we drove around, expected to see this. And then it would happen. We'd be driving along or walking through a neighborhood, and there in the middle of all this decay and destruction would be a house with a meticulously manicured lawn, with a walkway to the stoop lined with potted flowers and a crisp paint job and signs of life. And the question that many of us asked ourselves and then one another was, how do people muster up the motivation to keep up their property when all around them is such devastation and decay? I mean, I myself live on a street where people take lawn care quite seriously. And I'll be honest, I still have a hard time mustering up the motivation to haul out the lawnmower most days. So when it's all around you, how do you manage to keep that up? And as I thought of this question, I couldn't help but think of you all, of us all, really. Because who hasn't had a time in their life when all around them it just seems like there's rotting and there is decay? But we want to make new choices for new life, perhaps different choices. We want to do things that foster our mind, our body, and our spirit, that foster new life. But all around us is decay and death. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of God's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those in Zion who mourn a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the glory of the Lord, for his splendor. They will build up ancient ruins, and they will restore devastations. They will rebuild ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You see, we, the people of God, at times have been the oppressed, the captives, the prisoners, the brokenhearted, the ones who are mourning. And at times we have been the oppressors, the ones who are keeping people imprisoned by our expectations and demands of them, the ones causing heartache and causing pain, the ones denying that Christ can indeed bring new life. But my friends, if we haven't learned anything in the past few months, it's that God can redeem everything. God has conquered death. Christ has risen, and there is no rot or decay that is beyond the redemption of Christ. I believe that God's Spirit is doing the repairing and restoration, and God's Spirit is doing it in and through us. And I know that some of you sense this as well from conversations that I've had with you throughout the year, and a lot of you most recently in the past couple weeks. Some of you sense it. And I know that some of you don't sense it as well. There are those who don't sense it, don't trust it, don't, for whatever reasons, vast, wide, and deeply rooted, want to believe it for yourself. But hear this, God is doing something new in each and every person that is here today. And I believe this, for I believe that you wouldn't be here if that weren't true. I know that for some of you, you've experienced this most recently on a trip, because quite honestly, sometimes it's easier to see God working and moving when we're removed from our day-to-day experiences. When we're in an environment where there's more structure in our life that gives us time for devotions or serving or simply living in community with one another. And these times are great, and they are needed. But here's the deal. Most of our life is spent in the day-to-day. And that's not a bad thing, but it's a challenge, because the challenge in that for us then becomes, how do we take time to continue to foster new life? The challenge comes to us to continue to hear one another's stories, to ask each other hard questions, to continue to root our perspective in God's word, to love, to serve, and to be in this community together. And I know that for some of you, you feel like the lone, well-kept house on a street full of death and destruction. And you're wondering how you can keep it up. And I know for others of you, you might feel like a house in decay, overwhelmed by the rot and not even quite sure where to even begin. Regardless of which house you are, I hope that we can all trust and know this, that we're neighbors. And so the challenge comes for us, how do we be good neighbors to one another? And I think part of what it means to be a good neighbor is to simply talk to your neighbors, even the ones that you don't necessarily like, or the ones you think you might not have anything in common with. I'm serious about this. To not just walk out of here, walk on and be like, well, that was nice, I really liked chapel today, but to walk out of here and to be in relationship with those you're walking down the sidewalk with or sitting next to in the cafeteria, to ask people, what new thing do you sense or wish God was doing in you? It means to care for one another. It means to ask for help from one another, because we can't do this alone. And it means to encourage one another to live into this reality that God's kingdom is breaking in here and now. You see, ultimately, I think that's what we saw in West Jackson. We saw glimpses of redemption. And I can't help but wonder if those tending and nurturing that new life can't help but hope by the grace and spirit of God that that new life will continue to spread throughout the block. We are a community. We're a community of hope. We are a community where Christ is Lord. A community where by the grace of God, new life will come. And it will come and spread to the whole campus and beyond. Please stand. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. And as you leave this place today, may you live in the peace and dwell in the joy of resurrection. And live into this challenge of what it means that God is doing something new in you and by extension in us. Go in the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.